fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today and one more day with our guest this week, Pete Burak. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, you could find the programs Monday through Thursday there on the website at renewalministries.net. Welcome back, Pete.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. Thanks for being here all week and
Absolutely.
Taking the time.
It's been a blast.
Yeah, it really has been good. I really appreciated it. One of the things that you said you'd like to talk about, which I think makes a lot of sense, is the whole idea of vocation. Because we've been talking about discipleship. We've been talking about conversion this week. We've been talking about commitment and balancing out commitments. And really, when you talk about vocations, you're talking about where does my life as a disciple get lived out and what does that look like?
Yeah.
So I know you have lots of thoughts about that as a young guy.
Yeah.
And
it's an important topic, right?
Yeah.
Because if you poll most young adults, secular or Christian, their primary concerns are usually typically relationships, either romantic, career. Those are really kind of the two main pillars as you go through your
20s. Am I going to find someone to marry?
Exactly.
Number one. Number two, am I going to find a job that I like? I'm going to find a career that I think is significant and I want to get up every morning and be able to live and do. And so
right.
You're working all that stuff out. Or it's begun already. You're married. You're starting your career and you're starting to have children and your time is packed.
Right.
And so you're trying to figure out what's my main responsibility here now? How do I balance all this stuff?
Yeah, and I think there's lots of levels to it in terms of when do you have kids and what does the career look like and do I pursue a passion or do I pursue a paycheck? And there's all these different and a lot of good stuff out there to help people do that. At least what we're finding with young adults is there's a couple different prevailing attitudes that we need to address with them. Is one, typically a lot of times, good Christian, Catholic young adults who are trying to live out their faith are concerned they're going to find a spouse who can complement them in the faith department, that they're actually going to find the good guy, you know?
Yeah.
Am I ever going to find a good guy out there? Is there somebody? It seems like they're all taken, or the same idea with, I can't find them at a bar, where do I find them? So that's a major concern. And then the second is just society's kind of pirating away and twisting what marriage is, especially the marriage commitment. And making it feel like the old ball and chain and presenting that as almost a negative as a way to ruin your life. You get married, it kind of puts the clamps on your dreams and your aspirations and your world travel and all this type of thing. And I think we as the church have to be able to present a different vision of young married life that is one that is actually more freeing and beautiful. And the path to maturity and growth and holiness and kind of stepping into adulthood that is really important so that we don't have this delayed adolescence that seems to be very pervasive.
Yeah, I do think that's a powerful kind of pressure of the culture to make sure that you have a long list of things that you have to check out. You know, you have to keep your options open and then have all these experiences in your life that somehow if you haven't had multiple experiences over lots of years, which means you can't get committed to somebody, you have to keep that option open in order to reach those goals, that somehow you're not going to be happy and you're not going to live a fulfilled life, and that you're going to get married, you get started, and then, you know, 10 years into it, 5 years into it, whatever, you're going to regret it, or you're going to be bored, or you're going to be discouraged, or whatever, and think, gee, why did I miss all that opportunity? That's a lot that seems to go through their minds and hearts precisely because of what you're saying. They don't have a vision for their own life in Christ and a vision for the meaning and the value of marriage and family. Now, tell everybody a little bit about your own situation.
One thing before I tell about myself that I think is really important in this is marriage looks hard and that lifestyle you described looks easy and fun. So when you look at marriage, you think tired, having sex with the same person, you kind of chained down to the house that you, well, now I have a house, so I can't do anything. You know, like there's all, it almost seems restrictive and hard. And we're just a generation that doesn't necessarily like to do hard, you know? Like, we don't get excited about the challenge necessarily. We want the easy path. And the easy path seems to be, there seems to be more freedom and more fun, and therefore just an easier life if I can keep my options open. So, which I think is wrong, and we can get into that, but that's a idea. And so, yeah, no, I'm 29, and I'm married for 5 years to a lovely, lovely, lovely woman named Caitlin Aaron. And we have 3 kids, 4-year-old Grace, 2-year-old Aaron, and 10-month-old Donovan. And so there is never a dull moment at the Burak household these days. I mean, if I were to describe what my morning was like, well, first it started early morning when Donovan woke up not because he needed to nurse, but because he just was awake. You know how that is. He's 11 months old and he just
wanted
to.
Yo, Dad, let's go. It's 5 a.m. Let's get
what are we waiting for? You know, it was more like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And he just said, let's hang out. So I went up there and we spent about 45 minutes together, which was horrible and yet awesome. Like, there's nothing like your little boy's head on your shoulder trying to get him to sleep where you're ready to just strangle somebody, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, oh, what a gift to be able to have this little dude who brings me so much joy in other departments. And we wake up every morning, no matter how early I set my alarm. The girls have a preternatural ability to come down about 3 minutes before the alarm goes on and just jump on me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a rude awakening every morning, no matter how hard I try to make it not a rude awakening. And then the demands start, right? So it's we need breakfast and we need this type of breakfast and this and this and this.
You got to get dressed. You got to get your dressed. Diapers changed. You got to get, yeah.
Yep, yeah. And it's a never-ending battle. And then usually I'm the one who gets up with the kids so that Kate can get a little extra sleep. And then she comes out and she's getting about the day and she's got a mountain of laundry. And what's been really, if I can be honest, marriage and family life has been the most difficult thing I've ever done. But it's also been the most rewarding. So I've done some other really difficult things. You know, walking onto the University of Michigan basketball team was really, really hard. And it was also really, really rewarding. But it pales in comparison to both the challenge and the joy that comes from a loving, committed marital relationship that has produced three unbelievable kids. I mean, when I come home every day, I have three kids who are running towards me, screaming my name with just unconditional love and affection and adoration. And no matter what the day has been like, that is, and it sounds really cliche, but it's true. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But I think the church, and when we talk about these things, let's just be honest about it. It is really hard. But we're not made for comfort. We're made for challenge. Human beings are designed to push the boundaries and to strive to do new things and to challenge ourselves and to build up our ability to adapt to new situations. And nothing does that quite like marriage and family life. And so when I talk to my friends and cousins and those who are either on the path to marriage or kind of contemplating it, seeing if they want to do it, we can just be very honest. Yeah, there's moments where it is, would it be great to be able to just pick up and go to Florida for a weekend? Yeah, that'd be pretty great. But at the end of the day, what is a weekend trip to Florida compared to being able to spend time with my kids and all the other blessings that come from these relationships?
Yeah, there's the key teaching of Jesus when it comes to discipleship. He says, you know, if you want to come after me, that is, if you want to become one of my followers, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and come after me. So that deny yourself is a decision with the grace of God to be able to say, I've had a relationship with myself, so to speak, where I'm in charge. I'm in charge of everything, and I do what I want to do. I'm sort of the king. I'm on the throne. I'm going to do what I want to do and shape my life the way I want to. I'm going to design my life. I'm going to self-create. I'm going to be the man to do that. When we encounter Jesus and know him, that's something we give over to him. And say, like St. Paul said, I make it my aim now to please the Lord. That's a death. It's an essential death. If we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, if we want to be everything we're meant to be, and to be what he wants us to be, to lead us to the fulfillment of happiness, we have to make that fundamental decision. It's kind of a natural growing up decision, but it's even deeper than that. It's a kind of a death to self that allows us to lose ourselves, which Jesus said, unless you lose yourself, you're not going to find yourself. You're not going to find happiness. This is the great sort of mystery the modern world doesn't see very well, is that joy and happiness are literally not found in perpetually trying to find things for myself that I think are going to make me happy.
Right.
But instead, I'm going to commit myself to Christ, to his purpose in my life, and to a vocation, the vocation that he's giving to me, which is going to require death of me, but it's a death that's going to produce life, and it's already happening in your family, in your marriage, your relationship, and with your children.
Yeah.
The beautiful life that you guys have formed. Your house is like Grand Central Station for all kinds of other young adults, and all kinds of wonderful life happens out of that place. But it doesn't happen if Pete Burak doesn't lay down and die.
Yeah.
In a healthy sense, right?
Yeah, no, even when Grace was born, the first thing my dad said to me, he smiled, and he shook my hand, and he said, "Welcome to the Dead Man's Club." And we laughed about it, but it was pretty much what he was saying is your life as you knew it is over, but praise God. This is the new journey, and it doesn't really kind of make sense on paper, like you said. It is kind of that dichotomy of how does laying down my life mean I gain it? You know, how does emptying myself mean I'm going to be more filled? But yeah, it doesn't make sense when you wake up in the middle of the night to change a poopy diaper, or you've got a kid vomiting everywhere. And in those moments, it doesn't necessarily feel great.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not about the feelings too. And I think that's another thing that we have to present to the culture as a different life is just their feelings are important, but they're not everything. There's the conscious decision of the will, which is so important to be able to say, even in the marriage, when the feeling isn't there, 5 years in, I still love my wife. I love my wife more than I did before, but it's shifted in terms of the scope and the style of love, if you will. There's a conscious decision that maybe even wasn't there when we first got started. I mean, there was a decision there, but it was couched in all sorts of other things that they're not gone completely. It's not like I don't still have feelings for her and all that. Far from it. But there's just more moments of, I get to show her a deeper love by making conscious decisions to love her each and every day.
And love is a decision. It's not primarily a feeling. Sometimes it's accompanied with a very intense feeling. Sometimes it's not at all.
Right.
Sometimes it's just a decision to say, look, I've committed to this woman or to this man, and right now, he's actually kind of hard to be with. Right now, he's totally annoying, you know?
Right,
but I'm committed to willing his good, you know, going through trials and difficulties, and families do that.
Right.
And I'm thinking about my own life is in my family growing up, 7 kids, many good things about the family, but we faced alcoholism in my father's situation, and it was there for a good number of years, and it was difficult. It was a trial, and I watched my mom, who mom was prayed the rosary every morning, evening. She'd read scripture. She's an amazing woman, quietly doing this, but I remember asking her later. I actually put this on video. Debbie and I filmed Mom and Dad later. Dad had reached sobriety, and they were doing very well, and I said, Mom, why didn't you leave Dad? I mean, you went through some really hard stuff that you didn't deserve, quote unquote. You didn't deserve it, right? And a lot of people in the world today would say, get out of there. Walk.
Yeah.
You know, don't let it ruin your life. And she said a lot of things, but ultimately she said, Peter, I stood up before God and I said to your father, you know, good times and bad, rich or poor, the whole bit.
Yeah, sickness or health.
Yeah, and I'm committed to you. And she made a decision. She knew love was a decision, a daily decision, sometimes many times in one day decision for a period of time in her life. And I'll tell you what, her decision to love saved my family, led to the conversion of all 7 of the kids, some of who had drifted away from the faith. And Mom died a couple of years ago with 73 children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. Wow. And many of them, I mean, they're all wonderful. Many of them, though, are consciously really living the faith and trying to follow the Lord. And it really comes from that union. I can't imagine what would have happened to all of us if it was blown up when I was in high school. At a time in my life, as a 16-year-old, where I was kind of blown off the church. I had a lot of issues because of the anger, what was going home, and a variety of things. And it was that faithfulness, which is a decision to love, to lay down and die like Christ did for us. You know, no greater love is a man or a woman than this, that they lay down life for a friend.
Yeah.
But
or for a spouse.
Right? For a spouse. Yeah. We just have a few seconds left. Pete, you want to say a little bit about how people can get in touch with what you're doing? And
yeah. So, I mean, the overriding theme of this week is reaching for millennials and helping parishes do this through conversion and diving into their vocation and all the different things we talked about. And I just want to express that if you're a pastor out there or a leader in a parish and you're hungry to reach millennials, we want to help you. So go to id916.com and we'd love to come alongside you and empower and equip you at a new level to reach this generation, because it's important, but it also works if we dive into it with the Spirit and with faith.
Well, thanks so much, Pete, for joining us. It's been great. Hope to have you back. I should have you back like quarterly.
Absolutely.
Because there's always these new things that are happening, you know, with young adults. So God bless you. Thanks for being with us. Friends, have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.